Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is an Unspoiled Network podcast.
This is Undeclared The Vampire Diaries, Season 4, Episode 4, The 5. Hey, look, Krista was right about something.
Hey!
Welcome to Undeclared.
Mystic Falls. I was born here. This is my home.
And mine.
And mine.
For centuries, supernatural creatures have lived among us.
There are vampires, werewolves, doppelgangers, witches.
And even hybrids.
And then there's Elena. She's one of us now.
Why am I acting like this?
There may be one chance to save her.
I think.
Tell him what the hunter told you the tattoo leads to.
He said there was a cure.
No one must know about the cure, do you understand?
The hunter holds the key, but he'll stop at nothing to kill us all.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Jamie.
You're a jerk is what you are.
I mean, that's what I hear. It seems to be the general consensus this week.
Aw.
Between work people, no, not people, person, and that guy who wrote the review or whatever comment about me and Natasha on the Doctor Who show. Yeah, it seemed to be I'm sexist and a terrible person.
Oh, it was hilarious. The guy goes, somebody commented, there's no such thing as reverse sexism. And he's like, I know that. I'm like, you wrote an entire post about misandry. Like, what is wrong with you?
Not just misandry. Misandric tendencies or something. Like, is misandric even a word?
Probably.
Whatever. I was like, my response was, aw, did we hit a white male nerve? He didn't like that very much.
Well, why would he? That's hilarious. That entire thing, I was just laughing so hard.
I just love that Natasha sets the dogs out on these people. Like, she doesn't say, go ahead, guys, attack. She's just like, here's the post if you want to take a look at it. And then we all just like piling on like, oh, really, sir? You don't like our show anymore?
Who knows?
It's funny because he didn't listen long enough to when we actually had a lot of very, very positive things to say because the writing was better. He gave up.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, so whatever. Anyway, I'm mean, and that's Krista.
Our roles are reversed. What's going on? I'm still a robot, guys. Don't worry.
So what did you think?
I'm going to go against what I just said. I feel so bad for Rebecca.
Yeah.
It just sucks.
Yeah, Rebecca is, she's a sympathetic character when she's not acting out.
Yes. Very much stuck as a teenage girl forever. That yes. Sounds like hell.
Yeah. What it would be nice to see is some of those layers in Klaus. And as we've discussed before, we've only really seen any layers when it comes to him when he's interacted with Caroline.
Yes.
So I know people are going to be like, oh, watch the originals. Yes, we will. Don't worry. Please. Please don't say it again. We'll get there.
Are they really saying it that often?
It happens quite a bit. Not like incessantly, but it does happen quite a bit, especially when we get new listeners and they're like, are you going to cover the originals? Yes, we are. But it's going to be a while. We're only on season 4 We're not going to do them concurrently, so it's going to be a while.
Deep breath, guys.
Yeah. Would you like to start with your recap?
I would. So this is very confusing because it's the fourth episode, but it's called The Five. Just had to point that out. So here I go. Bonnie, Graham should have taught you about sleazy college professors hanging out with teenage women. But maybe she thought you wouldn't fall for that, even though your bestie has this thing for guys who are over a century old. Still, listeners, take a hard pass on anyone like this. In this episode, we see five white dudes who have posed for romance novel covers in the past surrounding a black witch. Are there any witches in the show besides Esther who are not black? I'm all for having black characters, but it's just kind of weird. Anyway, we're introduced to a bunch of dudes who are ostensibly douchebag Connor's forebears. The Salvatore brothers are definitely not in a fight, since Damon is taking Elena to college to learn how to feed. So maybe I was sort of right about a fraternity party, or maybe this was bound to happen in a show about a high school senior. Anyway, Stefan is honest with Elena about his unhappiness in her going with Damon on a trip, which is good. And Elena is making sure Bonnie is going, which is also good for Stefan, as we see later. Bonnie, Elena, and Damon crash Shane... He's just so gross. Crash Shane's class. He's teaching in place of Graham's. Damon is trying to give Elena advice on whom to feed, but they're not stealthy enough, even with vampire speech and hearing, and Shane calls them out for interruption. After class, Damon points out one of the potential donors, but Elena can't seal the deal because the woman they picked has a picture of her baby sister on her phone. Bonnie comes to the rescue, though, with a flyer for a murder-themed frat party. Most unbelievable part of this episode, that a fraternity would serve Bloody Marys. I've been to a lot of frat parties. No party is going to deal with that kind of effort. Oh, and drinks at frats are free when you get in. Free until midnight, my ass. Luckily, they spot a guy roofing a woman, and Elena swoops in to feed on him. Why she didn't knock the drink out of the woman's hands is a little beyond me, but compelling is kind of like Special K, I suppose. Elena almost kills the roofie guy, no loss there, but Damon steps in to stop her. She tells him she wants more. Did I mention Professor Sleazeball is at this party? Bonnie goes to talk to him, and I had to text Jamie about my displeasure. I'm just a guy with a very open mind, my ass. He tells her that he can help her practice magic again, and I want to report him to the administration since there's no way he has tenure yet and we can get him out now. But Bonnie leaves to find Elena on the blood equivalent of an ecstasy high, dancing with Damon. Elena looks back and immediately pulls away from Damon. Bonnie confronts Damon, and he insists that Elena is doing everything correctly. I wouldn't want to be in that car ride home. Also, how are they going to clean off before they get into Damon's sweet, sweet ride? In the meantime, Michelson's siblings are showing signs of burying the axe. Klaus tells Rebecca, who strikes out with Matt again after giving him a truck, that the five still exist. Rebecca says she doesn't care, but clearly she does. Stefan figures out that Klaus has Connor, pays him a visit, and provides a segue into exposition. Turns out that the five are from medieval times, and Rebecca was in love with one of them. Rebecca in present day has made friends with sweet April, who is also crushing on Matt. Stefan interrupts and gets Rebecca to give Klaus a chance in exchange for Stefan, helping her make nice with Matt. Rebecca comes with Stefan to Klaus's, and after seeing Connor, they sit down to dinner. What is with the costumes on Klaus's servants? Gold lame? I expected better aesthetics from an artist, Klaus. There's a secret weapon that they can find with the tattoo. Klaus has stolen Jeremy to see and draw the tattoo for them. Connor is angry with Jeremy, who gives no fucks. And Klaus slut-shames Rebecca because the five daggered the Michelsons. Only Klaus can't really be daggered, so the five all died that night. But not before Rebecca's suitor told her there was a cure called it. Klaus is angry with Jeremy for not drawing the entire tattoo, but the tattoo only shows up a bit at a time with each vampire kill. The Sword of the Five is a translation for this map, and Rebecca knows where it is. After Klaus is a major dick to her, she leaves, but because Stefan has some empathy, Rebecca lets it slip where she buried her fiancé and his sword. And then Klaus daggers her because he's the worst. Stefan takes Jeremy home, and Elena falls into his arms back from college, upset about the evening and what it means for her. Klaus has made Stefan promise not to tell Elena that there's hope on the horizon. Klaus leaves Connor with a not-so-bright vampire who gets a little too close and lets Connor bite off his cartilage ear piercing. Connor breaks free, kills the red shirt, gets more of his tattoo, and goes off to find Professor Sleazeball. Of course. No Rick, folks. What's with that? What a miss.
Nothing.
Awesome.
Question.
Yes.
How is anybody looking at Professor Shane and being like, oh my god, he's hot?
Same!
And yet, not one of these women, not one of these girls on this show ever looked at Rick and said, what a snack.
Okay, first off, they are all women now because they are 18.
Sure.
So I'm giving them that, even though I think of them as girls. I kept typing girls and having to delete and write women because they're just so tiny. But also, because Rick didn't put off vibes of, I could be into you.
That doesn't stop you from being like, that guy's fucking smoking.
I actually had the you're a teacher thing forever.
He's objectively hot.
He's a good-looking older man.
So
by
say
older,
it.
I mean younger than me.
Yeah. All I want is for them to just verbalize that. If they're going to be trying to tell me that this dude is hot, then I want some words from girls on this show about how hot Rick is. Not
well,
girls that are...
if we ever see him again, maybe it would happen.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Remember I told you about that Wizard World or whatever it was? That con that got canceled over the summer, but the Vampire Diaries, some of the Vampire Diaries cast did the live stream thing.
Yes.
This guy who plays Professor Shane was one of the guys
Why?
On the show.
Who the hell wants to see his face? Ugh.
That was pretty much my reaction, where at first I was like, who the fuck is that? And I was like, oh, that guy. Like, totally happy to see everybody else. But there was him and then one other character who you haven't met, where I was like, they must have just been available. Like, they were on the show and they're available. They couldn't get Matt Davis. Maybe they don't want to. I had to unfollow him on Twitter. I wasn't going to say anything about it.
Aww.
But I had to unfollow him on Twitter.
Aww. I don't want to know.
Yeah, you really don't. I, out of my love for Alaric, I have to not pay attention to Matt Davis. It's really sad.
Ugh, fine.
Yeah. I love Alaric. He's one of my favorite characters on this show, on many shows. He is a joy. And unfortunately, Matt Davis somehow has turned into not one, not a joy. Not a person I'd want to talk to. It sucks. But you know who, just to balance things out, the two people who actually are fucking delightful on Twitter?
Tell me.
Joseph Morgan and Daniel Gillies. My God. They don't interact with each other very much. I don't think it's because they don't like each other or whatever. They follow each other on Twitter. But their tweets are always really, really enjoyable.
Hmm.
And they just seem to be really good people. Like, really good people.
Well, thank you for telling me I can't experience something for the next 10 years.
Joseph Morgan and his wife are doing some kind of something to, like, help save animals from a shelter. Like, I like him a lot.
Good.
Yeah. And Daniel Gillies was sharing pictures of gay guys who are taking back the term Proud Boys. So
I'm so happy.
He was like, this is great. I love it. So, yeah, the balance is out. The bad taste in my mouth from Matt Davis this week.
Okay. I don't want to see Rick anymore, guys.
No, you do. Because Rick is great. This is the difference between an actor and the role they play.
Okay. I'm going to say good job, writers.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about this episode that does not have Alaric, who we still love. Alaric is great. It's okay.
Okay.
We open on this ritual a long time ago where a witch infuses five dudes with some kind of power in their swords, question mark. I noted that they all look like Gru from Angel.
You're not wrong.
They all look so much like Gru that I was like, is it Gru? Oh, wait, no, it's not. He'd be too old by this time.
They just looked like the cover of my ex-mother-in-law's books.
Yeah, you're also right about them looking like romance cover pictures.
It's yeah. hilarious.
So this tattoo that we've seen part of is on all of them after this ritual.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing, it seems, goes over their chest and everything. Then we go to the Salvatore's, where Damon comes in with a bunch of Connor's stuff from his trailer because he still thinks that Connor is dead.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to figure out what the five are. Stefan's never heard this term before. And Damon's hoping that there's some kind of handbook. I guess he kind of forgot that Connor said he'd never heard the term the five. So what kind of handbook do you think you're going to find, Damon? I guess he's grasping at straws.
Yeah, there might be some information somewhere about like how things work or how they found them. I get it. I'd want to snoop too.
Oh, I'm all for the snooping. But I think it's unlikely that he's going to find anything he's looking for when Connor didn't know anything.
Yeah.
He gets a call from Liz and is pretty concerned about whatever she told him. And Stefan's like, what's that about? And he's like, we're in a fight. And Stefan's like, I'm not. I'm over it. And Damon says, well, you don't seem like you're over it. And Stefan's like, well, I'll always be mad at you for letting Elena feed for you, but I'm over it. Like, we're not fighting. And so Damon's like, all right, fine. Seems like there's no body to be found in that explosion site. So that's concerning. Guess we didn't get rid of the hunter. But he needs Stefan to find Connor since he's taking Elena to college. And I'm trying to think. I know we knew that Grams was a professor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But did they ever indicate that the college was, like, really close by? I guess they would have to be.
I kind of assumed since she lives there, so.
Yeah, they've just never really talked about this college all that much until this episode.
Yeah, they've never talked about college.
Right. So Stefan's like, excuse me? And Damon says that he needs to teach Elena how to feed. Stefan's not happy about this, but Damon just basically shushes him. And is like, well, we're not in a fight anymore. Remember?
I was so happy.
I would really love an episode that is truly just Stefan and Damon for the whole episode.
Yeah, I would enjoy a boys' night out.
With no side plots. Like, no. Just Stefan and Damon.
Yes.
That would be great. So later, Elena tries to explain to Stefan why she's going along with Damon's plan after almost killing Matt the night before. And she says that she's not sure if it's like a doppelganger thing, but she can't keep down animal blood or blood from blood bags. And Caroline can't help her because she's too good at control. She doesn't know what the struggle feels like. And I kind of see her point.
Mm-hmm.
So then Stefan was like, well, what about me? And she's like, but you are the opposite. You suck at this. You can't handle any blood at all. Otherwise, you want to rip people's heads off. So I can't go to you and I can't go to Caroline. So then there's Damon, you know, he's the Goldilocks bear. It's just right.
Oh, my.
He has fun with it, but he can control himself. He doesn't get all bloodlusty. Not in the same way as
afterwards.
Right. Right. He just knows how to function. I mean, let Damon help her get in control and then have Caroline take over. Yeah. But she's not wrong about Stefan. Stefan's not going to be able to teach her anything because as soon as he gets around human blood, he's going to get like that doofy look on his face. And you know how much I love Paul Wesley, so I'm not insulting him, but he gets this doofy look on his face when he can't handle being around blood. And he's just not going to be any help.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think, you know, if you have to drink from a person, which it seems that Elena has to, Damon's way is the best possible scenario.
I mean, and luckily, Elena should be going to college at some point, so she can just hang out at a frat house all the time.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's got any lasting complications. Nobody dies. And Elena doesn't, like, starve.
And she takes out a guy who would be terrible and yeah. make sure he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, good on her. Mm-hmm. So she tells Stefan not to be jealous, and he tells her to be careful. And they leave it at that. I guess what they're practicing here is in case the hunter, like, shoots arrows at her. Seems unlikely.
Yeah, it was one of those things where they're like, let's just let them get physical outside.
Yeah. So our next scene is Rebecca going up to Matt at the grill and placing a set of keys to a fully paid for and fully insured truck as an apology mm-hmm. gift for what she did to his truck. He's not impressed. Tells her if she wants to make an apology, she should give it to Elena, since that's the person you killed. And he walks away. And she's staring off into the middle distance, and then there's Klaus. Tells her she's trying too hard, which, you know, he's not wrong.
I don't know. I think you're going to have to try really hard with Matt. Playing aloof is not going to work with this guy.
True. And it's a really nice gesture. Like, she did total his car.
Yeah.
He's a busboy at a diner, essentially, a bar. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have much money. He's a kid, so it's a nice gift.
Yeah. And she thought to pay for the insurance.
Yeah. Maybe she paid for the whole year up front. That's great. So they have this sort of barb-filled catch-up where they snipe at each other. Then he tells her that he stumbled across something that might be of interest to her. She doubts it. He tells her that he's found out that the Five still exist. And she's slightly interested, but not enough to admit it. Or too stubborn to admit it. And certainly not enough to forgive him.
I mean, she has every right to never trust this guy again. And I hate the fact that she's so dependent on him.
Well, why is she dependent on him?
Because there's nobody else who's going to live as long as her.
That doesn't mean she needs to be dependent on him. She could make her own life.
She could, but she's very insecure, and there's no one who can give her therapy. Is there a vampire therapist? She needs one.
I would imagine there must be somewhere in the world. But also, she could be like Elijah and, like, live her own life.
She could. I wish she would, although I don't think there's another Catherine for her to make a house with.
What?
I'm still holding on to that.
Oh. Like, what did I miss? All right, so then we have Elena, Bonnie, and Damon arriving at the college. Elena checks that Bonnie is going to be okay with this plan that she and Damon have, which Bonnie thinks is their best bet, whether she likes it or not, basically. Mm. Damon reveals that he's gone to college plenty of times, which they are surprised about. I don't know why they'd be surprised. He's been alive for 160-something years. People get bored. You've got all that time on your hands. You might as well go learn stuff.
How did they get money? That's all I want to know.
Compel it out of people? I don't know.
I guess.
He says he has a thing for sorority girls. And I wrote, hear that, Krista?
Well, the best part is as they're walking away because the girls are disgusted, he checks out another girl's ass.
Yeah, he does. Bonnie says that he's disgusting and he's like, I know.
Well, you know, he's not going to lie.
I'm sure the listeners have figured it out from your recap that you were in a sorority, which is why you went to so many frat parties.
Yes, I went as the sober sister regularly.
That must have been really annoying.
It actually wasn't too bad because there was always a sober brother at the parties to talk to. Because there was somebody from the house who was, you know, with it enough to make sure that everybody was okay. And if you're a sorority sister, you want to make sure that your sisters are okay. So basically it was just hanging out and making sure each of us spotted any sort of trouble that somebody was going to get in.
Did you ever have instances where people did get into trouble?
Breakups happened a lot, so there was a lot of crying, and one guy threw a refrigerator down the stairs. Not at anyone, he just threw a refrigerator down the stairs, which was scary enough. Like a full-size
one. A mini-fridge? A full-size one.
Full-size one. Guy was a tank.
How? Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really upset. Found out his girlfriend of 2 years had been sleeping with one of the other guys.
I guess the other guy was lucky he wasn't in the refrigerator.
pretty much, we decided that I would step in on that one because, you know, girl, don't hit girl kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he was a really nice guy. That was the hard part.
That's not always a safe bet, but.
But it's a safer bet. So,
yeah,
I held a lot of hair.
Okay.
You know, but also nobody ever was going off with some guy that they shouldn't be going off with or anything like that.
Did you have to stop that kind of stuff from happening?
I had to stop that. The one I remember the most was stopping one of the guys who was trying to figure out if he was bi or not from going off with a guy who was a senior when he was a freshman. I'm like, oh, no, we're not doing this quickly.
Okay. I've never been to a frat party or a sorority party.
Sorority parties are very boring. They're very boring.
Okay, back to this. They go and sit in on Professor Shane's class. And I wrote that Bonnie thinks he's kind of hot. I think she needs to have higher standards or better taste or possibly glasses.
Why not all three?
Shane lists off things like vampires and doppelgangers. Damon calls him Witchipedia. Elena laughs and then wonders whether she's a ripper. Damon doesn't think she is, but then tells her to pick someone to bite so they can find out. They are discussing the options in the class when Shane asks if he's interrupting them. And Damon says that they're just discussing how much they love witches. Then it turns out that Connor is chained up to a device that Klaus has saved since the Inquisition. And I'm sure device is not the right term, but I couldn't come up with the word.
A rack?
It's a rack. Is that a device?
Yeah.
A torture device?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm not wrong. It felt wrong. I wrote device and I was like, that's not the word I'm looking for, is it? But I couldn't think of a better one. Klaus goes into the room to check on him and finds that Stefan's in there. And he's annoyed, says I have to beef up my security. Stefan asks what Klaus has gotten out of Connor, but it's not much. Klaus asks what brought Stefan snooping. And Stefan won't say in front of Connor, noting that he can't be compelled. Connor says he doesn't know anything. Klaus is like, well, thankfully, I know plenty. So he and Stefan leave the room. He asks again why Stefan is there. Damon said that Klaus knew something about Connor, though Stefan should have known he was up to something when he cured Elena of the werewolf venom without asking for anything in return.
Mm-hmm.
Klaus says he was feeling benevolent.
Ugh.
But they both know that's never true. So I do wonder, well, I guess Klaus's reason was he knows about the five. He knows about the cure. So let's save Elena because Stefan's going to want Elena to take this cure. And if she gets cured, then I get my hybrids.
Yep.
However, my thought is, how do you know that her blood will be the same and will work the same after being cured of vampirism?
I think he's ready to take that risk.
I guess. But that does seem like it's a possibility that he's not factoring in.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it's the only option to get more hybrids. So.
Here's what I think. If Elena takes the cure and it turns out that her blood will not make hybrids, that's hilarious. And kind of what Klaus deserves.
Oh, definitely what Klaus deserves.
So let's see if that happens, because that's really funny.
It would also let Elena not have to have Klaus around her all the time.
Right. It would free her up to maybe actually live her life if she becomes human again.
Yeah, maybe date somebody who's not one of the Salvatore brothers.
But why? Look at them. Why would you? One or the other. It's not a bad choice.
Because it's always danger central around them constantly.
Well, maybe it won't be if she's not a doppelganger anymore or not special anymore. Then nobody's really going to need anything from Elena.
Then she can just wear a ring.
Yeah. She can just be a girl.
It'd be awesome.
Do you think that Elena is going to take this cure should they find it? Do you think that that's what's going to happen?
I want to know how much of the cure there is because I think even Caroline would want to take it.
Do you think there's anybody who wouldn't?
Damon.
Probably true. Anyone else?
Klaus.
Well, for sure. You think Stefan would take it?
To be with Elena for a regular life? Yeah, I think definitely.
I'm not sure that Caroline would take it.
I think she might. Like, she doesn't dislike being a vampire, but I think she also kind of wants to have a human life.
What happens if Tyler took it?
He stays a werewolf.
Does it work on a hybrid?
I don't know. I hope it does.
How much of the cure do you think there is?
It'll probably be one, so everybody can fight over it like crazy. I would like there to be more, though.
It would make sense if they've hidden this away in this to this degree. And their plan was to rid the world of vampires. There has to be more than one.
You would think, but why wouldn't they just give it to Rebecca since she seems really nice and cure her? She would want to be cured.
I thought at first that once, like, when Alexander was talking about, will you come with me? And she says yes. And then he surprised me by daggering her.
But I know, I was so mad at him.
I thought that was where it was leading. Especially after we find out it's a cure. So then I look back on that scene and I'm like, well, why wouldn't he just give it to her then? Like, if he actually loved her, give it to her, let her become human, and then there's no problem.
Yeah.
But maybe he just didn't love her.
It's so sad, the poor little thing.
What other vampires do we have?
Elijah. He has no emotions.
He doesn't. I don't think that Elijah's interested in being human.
No. And Catherine would never want to be a human.
No, for sure, no.
Do we have any more?
No, not really anymore. Not known vampires, no. Yeah. Well, there's, you know, Cole. Cole's still around.
Cole couldn't turn into a human. He never was one.
Okay. Stefan asks what the five is. Klaus is cagey. So Stefan says he's got nothing else to do. He can hang out all day. Makes himself comfortable. Klaus finally relents, thinking that Stefan might be useful in getting Rebecca to cooperate. So he tells this bit of the tale of the five. They're a brotherhood of hunters that the Michelsons crossed paths with in Italy in the 12th century. We flash back and see Klaus and my darling Elijah joining a crowd in the town square where a man is preaching about demons. He opens a box and the man inside cowers from the sun, then steps out and completely catches on fire.
I'm surprised that it didn't take them 100 years to start making vampires.
What do you mean? They've been making vampires. Klaus says they've been making vampires all across Europe.
Like, why?
Why are they making vampires?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because it's a good way to get outed.
I don't think the internet existed in the 1100s. So they're pretty safe.
I guess.
Safe enough that they're walking around with these hunters with the belief that the hunters don't know who they are or what they are.
Well, they are in the daylight.
And exactly, they're in the daylight. So Elijah notes that this guy's putting on quite a show. Klaus is not impressed. Elijah, as usual, counsels caution, noting that between Klaus and Cole, they haven't been discreet. Stories of the original vampires are growing. Klaus isn't concerned about that, but thinks if Elijah is concerned about discretion, he should probably do something about Rebecca. And we see Rebecca and the hunter kissing, and then they walk away arm in arm. Back in the present, Stefan notes that they've been around for 900 years. Sure, but Klaus hasn't seen or heard of one since back in Italy in the 1100s. He wonders what they've been up to all this time. And since Rebecca was in love with one of them, she was privy to his secrets. Klaus is willing to share if Stefan does something for him, which is get Rebecca over to the house. She's being stubborn and hateful. But she has information she won't give him unless she thinks they've made up. Stefan asks what's in it for him, and Klaus tells him that the information that Rebecca has is the answer to all of Stefan's prayers.
Does Stefan pray?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's really just a phrase at this point.
Yeah, I know. But it was just one of those things I was like, who would he pray to? Anyway.
Well, is it impossible for vampires to believe in God?
No. But I just don't know who Stefan would pray to.
I think he's probably atheist, but yeah. At the grill, April is doing some homework alone. She tells Matt that she's waiting for her friend, and then Rebecca shows up. Matt is surprised that the two of them are friends. Rebecca asks if it's so hard to believe that she would have a friend, and he says, yeah. And then tells her that he's keeping the truck.
Good.
He walks away, and both April and Rebecca watch him walk away. And then Rebecca's like, excuse me, I have dibs. Suddenly, Stefan sits down and compels April to forget everything she hears, and then turns to Rebecca and tells her that Klaus wants him to make fake peace with her so that she'll talk about the five. Rebecca tells him not to help Klaus because he'll just betray Stefan. It's what he does. So Stefan tells her to help him instead of Klaus. And she's like, well, you hate me more than he does. And he's like, well, I'm willing to set that aside. Give a clean slate. And she asks why, and he says that he knows she's not leaving town anytime soon, so he's just looking for a way that they can all get along. Plus, she must be really miserable walking around with no friends. She says she doesn't care what he or anyone thinks, and he's like, well, I'm pretty sure you don't care what Matt thinks, and, you know, I could maybe put in a good word for you. I feel like Rebecca should be seeing right through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But poor Rebecca is always just really desperate for friends. He's right. And even if a part of her is like, he's just using me, the part of her that believes he might not be is a stronger voice in her head.
Well, and she was with him for a long time that he doesn't kind of remember as much.
Yeah.
So there's that. And also, just that's the nice part of her, the part that still believes people can be good.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate that she keeps believing that and ending up hurt because of it.
Every time.
Yeah.
I mean, April will be nice to her forever.
I hope so.
Yeah.
What if April finds out about vampires and finds out that Rebecca's a vampire and is suddenly, like, horrified and won't talk to her?
I think that they'll just compel her to forget because she's dinky.
But that's not fair to her.
Yeah, that's okay, though. She doesn't need to be scared all the time.
That's just Rebecca compelling another person to be her friend. When this is the one person that she hasn't had to compel to be her friend.
Yeah. I was thinking more like that she would like her for her rather than her for being a vampire.
I hope that's true. Because there's no way that April's not going to learn who she is.
I know.
She lives in this town. She's on this show.
Yeah, but most of the people in the town have no idea.
Most of the people in the town are not interacting with these people.
I know. I just want a nice thing to happen. Is that so wrong? Yes.
It's not wrong.
Vampire Diaries.
I like Rebecca and I want her to actually have a friend. I want her to stop being a punching bag. I want her to not be a victim of her brother and Stefan and Damon and whoever. I want her to grow a backbone and be like, fuck you guys. I'm going to do my thing.
I just wish Elijah was nicer to her.
Yeah, I wish Elijah would prioritize her a little bit. We go back to the college. Damon sets Elena up to bite a girl in feed, but when she starts to compel her, she notices a picture of a little girl on her phone, and then she can't hurt this girl because this little girl on her phone, her little sister, sends her away. Damon wants to know why, and she says, like, I'm still me. Like, I still care about people. And he's like, yeah, everyone is someone's someone. So you gotta
get over
that. He's not telling her to kill this girl. So Bonnie comes up and tells him that Professor Shane said he has some stuff belonging to her grams. And then she's also got this flyer for a murder house party at a frat house.
Why doesn't Damon say something snarky about the professor wanting to have a young teenage girl in his fucking room alone?
I'm not sure. I think that Damon probably hasn't been paying all that much attention to that aspect of their trip.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing that this Professor Shane is not going to go away. And at some point, Damon's going to be like, I hate you.
Yay! I'm excited. Well, especially since he's helping Connor.
Right. Like, it's a different situation than Rick, who at first Damon was like, ugh, I hate you. But they already had, like, jokey chemistry with each other. And also, we knew that Rick wasn't against us, our side. And I don't trust this guy.
Well, no. He's friends with a hunter.
Right. Also, he just doesn't give off a vibe that isn't creepy. When he's talking to... First of all, and we'll get to it, but he's at a fucking frat party. What the fuck are you doing there?
Thank you.
Second, when he's talking to Bonnie, there's nothing not creepy about the way he's talking.
Not even a little. Talking
about like, oh, I think he's going to like make a move on her. And there's a little bit of that. But just the way he talks about witchcraft, I don't like it.
Nope.
I don't trust him.
Nope.
So these frat parties that you went to, did they have themes?
Yeah.
Would they ever have a murder house party?
They would have a Halloween party.
Yeah, that's a Halloween party.
Yeah.
Where everybody's in costumes and it's not dress up as a killer or a victim. That's weird.
Yeah.
However, I think it's hilarious that Damon dressed up as Jack the Ripper and these two were dressed up as prostitute victims.
Yep.
On the other hand, where'd they get these costumes from?
It is kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I do like that Damon's immediate response is, this is a great place for Elena to figure out how to feed. Frat houses are full of douchebags. And then he's like, should we dress as killers or victims? I thought that was funny.
Yes.
Seven arrives back at Klaus's house with Rebecca. She asks where Connor's tattoos are when she sees him. Klaus says that they're invisible on this new batch of hunters, and then leads them into the dining room where there's a girl serving them dinner. I did not notice the gold lame.
Oh, they're such ugly costumes.
I feel like I should pull up the scene on Netflix and look at what she's wearing again. I think I didn't notice because I was looking at the food on the table.
That might be it. But seriously, every single time the servants show up, they're in gold lame tops and short black mini skirts.
Did we see the servants more than just this one moment?
Last season.
Oh, God, I don't remember that at all. Huh. I don't know why. Klaus has his quirks.
They're gross.
Apparently. He thanks this girl and then thanks the council for burning all of the vervain so that he can have compelled servants again.
Mm.
He and Rebecca bicker over what he should be apologizing for to Stefan's annoyance. I forget what Stefan says, but it was pretty funny, and it reminds me that I really like when Stefan's not being good Stefan.
I think it was something like, I would rather be with any other people than be here.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I like when he's just sort of dry and, like, I like good Stefan. I like Stefan, but I like when Stefan is sarcastic.
Yes.
I wish that side of him came out more than these other sides.
It seems to come out more with the Michelsons than anyplace else.
Yeah, I do really enjoy that. Then they finally tell their story, or more of the story. So Alexander, the hunter, was looking for creatures of the night, so they felt comfortably disguised because of their daylight rings. Alexander explains that the five were made to rid the world of vampires and that they have a weapon that no vampire can survive. Stefan is not impressed that the answer to his prayers is a weapon. Klaus tells him that in order to get this weapon, they have to solve a puzzle. But the puzzle is the tattoos, and the tattoos have disappeared. It's a map, and one that only Jeremy can see. And then dramatically, he reveals that his hybrids have brought Jeremy to them. He takes Jeremy's ring off and instructs them that he is going to help them.
Also, he points out that Jeremy can draw.
Yes. Which we haven't seen any of since, like, the first season.
But it was nice that they brought it up.
And I like later when Klaus is critiquing it, he's not being shitty. He's actually critiquing it as somebody who is also an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he says, like, you've got nice lines, but you need to move quicker. And I guess that's the most of a compliment you're going to get from Klaus, that it must have been pretty good for him to say anything. Other than, like, that sucks. I can't. What am I looking at? Back to the party. Damon and Elena and Bonnie get there in their costumes, as we said. And Professor Shane is there, as we said. And Damon accurately points out that it's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie does not think he is creepy and goes to talk to him. Bonnie has some judgment issues.
Bonnie, if Damon thinks a guy is creepy, you should probably back off.
I think she is having the opposite reaction because Damon thinks that he's creepy. Yeah. That she's like, well, if you think so, then he must be fine.
Ugh.
We talked about Elena picking the frat boy who put a roofie in a girl's drink. I don't know why she didn't, like, knock the drink out of the girl's hand. I also thought about that. After she does all of this, Damon asks her how she feels, and she says that she wants more. Someone, was it in the Unspoiled group, like, in the patrons page, that somebody asked about, like, why do the vampires have to have blood all over their faces after they feed?
That was me.
Did you actually ask that or comment on it?
No, I posted the meme talking about okay. it.
Valid. I don't know why. Why are you guys... And someone else was like, that's your food. And yeah, it's your food. Like, what are you doing?
I'm not pouring tomato soup all down my face.
Yeah. I would hope not. It would burn.
That too.
But still, like, when I spill food out of my mouth accidentally, usually it's something liquid, if it happens, if I take too much of a drink, per se, I wipe my face right away. I'm not walking around with the iced coffee on my face. Like, come on. Have some self-respect, vampires. We have more of Jeremy drawing Connor's tattoo. Connor doesn't understand how a potential hunter can be a vampire sympathizer. Jeremy doesn't think that Connor knows anything. So what does it matter? Connor tells him that years ago he met a guy who had the mark, and that guy said since Connor could see it, that meant he was a potential. So basically the same thing happening with Jeremy. He lost track of the guy, and then one day the tattoo appeared on his hand. So the more vampires he kills, the more it spreads. What?
That guy did an amazing job of training himself to kill vampires, if that's the only thing that ever happened was somebody goes, you could kill vampires.
Yeah.
Like, annoying character, crazy discipline.
Mm-hmm. The Vampire Diaries wiki that I get the transcripts from and stuff, they had some commentary about how this is a little too similar to Slayers and Watchers and whatnot.
Yes.
The potential Slayers, like, here's a potential and they're assigned a Watcher and the Watcher trains them just in case they get called up to the majors. And I felt that way too. The difference is that we don't know if these hunters have been around for 900 years without training, and so they, you know, for 900 years didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
Or if this is something that a few years ago came back into existence.
Imagine if you saw the tattoo, were like, huh, that's an interesting tattoo, move on, never say anything, and suddenly you get the tattoo on your hand and you're like scrubbing your skin off trying to get rid of it.
Right.
Terrible choices, which is terrible choices.
Next, we have a flashback, another flashback of Rebecca and Alexander. They're making out, and she's asking about the tattoos. He says it took years for he and his brothers to learn to read it. The key to reading it is on his sword. He asks if she would like to come with him when he leaves to follow this map. She says she would. Then she asks about the dagger on his table. He says that it's a very special weapon for a special kind of vampire. Until they can rid the world of vampires, they have the special weapon. And then he stabs her with it. So I guess this is how Klaus learned about these daggers. Mm-hmm. I wonder how the Five learned about these daggers.
Which is from the other side told a witch. That's what I'm just going to go with that, because that's the only way I can think of.
Okay. So after he stabs Rebecca, they go and dagger Elijah and Klaus. We know that Cole and Finn are not with them. So I guess other members of the Five have been tracking those two. Because they get daggered. They get daggered too. Mm-hmm. Which we find out later that the reason that Finn was daggered for 900 years is because Klaus never took the dagger out of him. Which is rude.
He's just like, are you kidding
He's like, he was boring. I'm like, it's your brother.
I like, maybe he's like, takes it out halfway and goes, meh, you suck.
Seriously. Like, these hunters incapacitated your entire family. And you're like, let's leave that one in, though. And then just left it for 900 years.
I mean, I have family members I would have kept daggered for 900 years. I do. I'm not saying which ones.
I won't make guesses. But I have guesses. Yes, I have some family members I would dagger. I would also never want to take the risk of anybody taking that dagger out, so those people would be dumped in an ocean or something. Because not all members of my family are as cool as my dad.
No, your dad is awesome. Obligatory Jamie dad shout out.
Okay, after Klaus wakes up, because he's a werewolf, which they didn't know, so the dagger didn't work on him for very long. He proceeded to kill all of the hunters. And then he wakes Rebecca up after the slaughter. She's very upset, so she had no idea. He wants to know what Alexander promised her. So in the present, he makes her tell Stefan what the hunter told her the tattoo leads to. And that's when she says that it leads to a cure for vampirism. Stefan smartly is like, there is no cure. And she says, there is, it's true. So he asks why they didn't just find it back then. Klaus tells him that the tattoos disappeared from the bodies after they died. And for 900 years, there wasn't a whisper of these hunters until now.
I gotta ask, why isn't Klaus just feeding vampires to this guy to finish the tattoo?
It's a good question.
Just saying.
Well, maybe that would have been his plan. Once he finds out that the tattoo only grows when he kills vampires, but then the guy escaped.
Yeah.
So, we don't know.
Anyway.
Rebecca asks what they do now. Klaus tells her that she does nothing. She can't be trusted not to blab the info to the first boy who was nice to her.
Ugh.
She reminds him that she stayed with him all of this time. And she knows that he just wants the cure for Elena so he can go back to making his hybrids. She leaves. He also doesn't deny that.
Well, you know, that's decent.
Klaus tells Stefan that they need to know where the sword is, and he thinks that she'll tell Stefan. Then we get that scene at the office with Bonnie and Shane where he's talking about that there are other forms of magic, and he's not a witch himself, but he's got an open mind, and he's learned all kinds of stuff, and blah, blah, Indiana Jones, blah, blah, blah. Dude, you are not Indiana Jones. How dare you compare yourself to Harrison Ford? I don't like him.
Okay.
Then we get this scene that everybody knew was coming of Elena and Damon dancing and biting people and blood all over the place and blah. And then, of course, the thing that happens after it, which is Bonnie coming back to the party and seeing them. And as soon as Elena sees Bonnie, suddenly she is all guilt-ridden and ashamed of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Klaus checks on Jeremy's drawing. As we talked about before, he is, for Klaus, impressed with the drawing,
mm-hmm.
but says it's not done. And Jeremy's like, I'm done. That's all there is. So he sends Jeremy home and leaves a hybrid to guard Connor. Then Elena shame spirals. Damon's annoyed. Bonnie says that he just wants her to be like him. And he says she's already like him. And Elena looks all traumatized.
Ugh.
So for like a second, I was like, all right, Elena, getting used to this. Oh, now you're back to this. Great. Rebecca goes to Stefan's house. He plays her very well. She basically tells him everything. That back then she wanted to take the cure. She asks if he would take it himself or if it's just for Elena. And he says that he would love to have an eternity with Elena, but Damon's right. Elena won't survive killing someone, and eventually all vampires kill someone. He's afraid if she does, she'll flip her switch and they'll never get her back. But if it meant that they could grow old together and have children and die together, then yeah, he'd take the cure. She confesses that she buried Alexander at the church where they were going to get married, and then she realizes that that's exactly what he was after, because she buried him with his sword.
Oh, it's just, that's so sad.
Yep. Klaus comes in and confirms this, and then daggers her. There's a little argument that goes on between there, but basically, it's just her screaming at him to do it. He tells Stefan to put her somewhere safe, and he's going to get the sword, but Stefan can't tell anyone.
I got a question.
Okay.
Why did he have to dagger Rebecca? Why?
Punishment, I guess.
Stupid.
Yeah, I don't really know.
It's not nice. It's mean and it's pointless and I'm mad at him.
Power? Just so he can continue to have control? I don't know. I really don't know. Because
he's a dick.
She gave him the information that he wanted.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure he has a reason.
That he's a dick?
That could easily be part of it. So then we have Damon walking Elena to her door, and she apologizes for her behavior at the party. And he asks her what it is that she actually feels. And she says that deep down, she believes him when he says what a vampire should be, but she hates that feeling because she doesn't want to. And he cuts her off and says she doesn't want to be like him. And she doesn't answer. And then Stefan opens the door, and she's surprised that he's there. He said he was hanging out with Jeremy. They had some things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Damon asks if there's any news on the hunter, and Stefan lies to him and says no. Damon leaves Elena to Stefan, and then she continues her shame spiral, which is boring. Stefan tells her that she just has to hold on. Then Connor kills the hybrid, his tattoo grows, and then he shows up at Professor Shane's office demanding to know why he was sent to Mystic Falls.
It is a good question, sir.
Like, it has to be for more reason than just there are vampires there, because there aren't a whole lot of vampires there.
Not anymore, anyway.
Yeah. What do you think the answer is?
That Shane is creepy and needs to go. Maybe he knows about the originals and knows that there was originals there and wanted to get information from them because he thinks they know things that they don't necessarily know.
Information about what?
I guess the cure, since that's the only thing, but he's not telling Connor about most of it.
And he's not a vampire.
No, he's not.
He had a part of the tattoo drawing on his wall.
Yes.
And I don't think it was a part of the tattoo that Connor has yet. Because it sort of does the, like, fade out from the original five.
I wonder if it's actually skin on there.
Ooh. Ew. Maybe. It's gross.
This dude is awful.
Yeah. So I have one little bit of trivia. All the hybrids are just called hybrids until they become plot relevant. Klaus even says, tell the hybrid to bring him in, about Jeremy. If there are just a few precious hybrids, he should know the name of each of them. But as soon as we learn a hybrid's name, we know he has become plot relevant.
That is interesting.
This one did have a name, but I don't remember what it was. Gavin?
Ken? I think it was Ken.
Ken? Whatever. Dead Ken. We have a review. It's Love That, 5 stars by FJ from Germany. I believe this is our first one from Germany.
Yay!
I am a 100% Stelena fan, but can we talk about how hot Stefan is? I love this podcast. By the way, I'm listening to this podcast while studying. Thank you. Stefan is hot. I think Paul Wesley is really hot. He looks really good lately, if you follow him on social media.
Oh, yeah, you know how I do that.
All of the pictures that they've been posting for their brother's bourbon that Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley have done together, He looks insane. It's the hottest he's ever looked. I don't know what it is. Quarantine has been really good to Paul Wesley. Good. Not very good to Ian Somerhalder's hair. Not going to let it go. He needs to cut it.
Oh, well, you know, he's probably just excited he still has some. He seems like the kind of guy who would lose his hair.
I don't know. He has a lot of it. Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got.
Hey, that's awesome. Thank you so much for the review.
Yes, thank you. Please leave us reviews if you haven't. It helps people find our podcast. I think we're maybe the only active Vampire Diaries podcast right now. So it'd be great to have more listeners. If you want to also support us, you can become a patron at patreon.com/unspoiled.
You get the shows earlier than everybody else.
Yeah, at least 2 days earlier. It's Unspoiled, not Undeclared, because we are a part of the Unspoiled Network. You can find us on Facebook at the group for patrons only, which is facebook.com/group/unspoiledclub. Or you can go to the group that Chris is not allowed in, which is the Undeclared TVD spoiler group. If you are a patron, you can find us on the Mighty Network. You'll get an email when you become a patron to join the Mighty Network. It is for patrons only. It is a different social media platform, and we just don't let in randoms because a lot of times randoms are toxic.
Yeah.
We also have a Twitter account at UndeclaredTVD. Do you have anything to plug?
I do not.
Do you have anything you would like to share?
What am I forgetting?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, I'm very quiet this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also do Unspoiled Doctor Who with Natasha, as I talked about before when I was talking about somebody complaining about us being sexist. We were off last week, so there won't be a new episode this coming week because we were off last week for Natasha's birthday, so it'll still be another week before we have a new episode. That gives you a whole week to catch up on 7 seasons.
Woot.
The next episode is called The Killer.
Seriously?
What do you think it means?
That's like saying the show has the word "the" said more than once.
Who do you think the killer is?
Jeremy.
Why Jeremy?
Because he's not likely to be the killer.
Who do you think the killer is?
They're all killers. Maybe this is when Elena kills someone and she loses it. There you go.
Huh. Okay. So either Jeremy or Elena, but it's definitely going to be a Gilbert.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else. Looking forward to the next episode.
Yay!
So, and until next time, always and forever, motherfuckers.
Hello, brother. I feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. I wear my heart upon my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround. There's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
That was an Unspoiled Network podcast.